Algorithms can do so much more than control social media feeds. In fact, they have the power to save lives and improve our health. At the Weizmann Institute, Professor Yonina Eldar has pioneered innovative algorithms that optimize MRI scans and make ultrasound devices more portable, affordable, and accessible. Professor Eldar's lab develops AI tools that can pave the way to new technologies that can see, hear, and communicate beyond existing limits. Learn more at celebratinggreatminds.org.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Hello, Cleveland, and welcome back to another edition of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Jackson McCurry, and joining me as always is my co-host, Anthony Jokey. Anthony, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I started a new job this week, so that's been very exciting. And, you know, it's kind of been a decent distraction after the game on Sunday. Just trying to stay off of social media and whatnot and staying out of these ridiculous talks that have been going on. So I've been good. I'm not sure about everybody else who's participated this week, but I'm feeling all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the talks after Browns losses are always some of the most overreactions I've ever seen in my life about things. And I'm sure if we can go back and listen to the post game with me and Kay, I thought that was very therapeutic to get it out of the way. And if anybody hasn't listened, please go back and listen to that, because it was a good hour-long discussion about the game, and it helped, you know, ease some of the pain that we had to go through towards the end of that game. But tonight's episode, we are focused on previewing this Sunday's matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. And joining us tonight, he's a Northeast Ohio native, but he now resides in Arizona. You guys can hear him Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. Pacific on Sports Bylines, Sports Overnight America with his wife, Jen. He's a good friend of ours. He's the reason, I always say, he's the reason why I got into podcasting, because 5 years ago, he had me come on his podcast to talk Browns, and I've been hooked to podcasts ever since. It's our good friend, Jeff Rich. Jeff, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, what's up? It's been a heck of a ride. This is a good time to talk about the Cleveland Browns. Unfortunately, it's also a pretty good time to talk about the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we talk about Arizona, obviously, you being a Northeast Ohio native, you being a Browns fan, what's your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns 5 games into the 2021 season? Maybe your thoughts on Baker, the whole Odell Beckham situation, just everything in a nutshell, your opinion on the Cleveland Browns right now.
Well, the running game continues to disappoint me. I know that the talent's there, and I know that the offensive line is there, though that they've been beaten and battered a little bit this season. But I'm still disappointed in short yardage situations when they're not trusting their superstar Nick Chubb to carry the ball, or, you know, if Hunt's on the field, because he is, you know, technically the third down back. But it seems they, you know, they get into play action, which they're very good at, and it's good to mix that in. But I've been disappointed. I've been disappointed that I was extremely disappointed in the Minnesota game when Baker had opportunities to throw the ball to wide open targets beyond the chains and decided to run for it himself. I thought that he looked uncomfortable in that game. Jack, I told you the other day that going into the Chargers game, I was worried about the mechanics and the discomfort that Baker Mayfield would have. But despite the fact that they lost that game, I don't put any of that on Baker Mayfield. I thought that he played a tremendous game. I think that there are some question marks with Odell Beckham. You know, the chemistry just seems off when he's in the game. And I was at the Dallas game in 2020 when he went off both running the ball and catching the ball. He caught one from Juice in that game. But, you know, overall, I feel that the Browns are, you know, this is exactly what they want to be. Never too high, never too low. I think that they'd rather be 4-1 or 5-0. But at this point, you know, the running game is what it's supposed to be. You know, Will if he's ever fully healthy this year, that line will play at 100% of its potential. And I'm excited about the improvements personnel wise and performance wise on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, when it comes to Odell Beckham, there's been the talk. Do they trade Beckham? Do they, cut ties with him after this season? That was the new report today from The Athletic. How do you think the Browns should handle Odell Beckham's future and present state with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think that there is the Landry factor, and I think that that Beckham has more allies in the locker room than just the guys that went to the same school that he did. I think that he's a very likable person, but he's a very high profile person. And, it's an improportionate ratio between the hype surrounding him and what he's actually been able to give the Cleveland Browns. I think that the potential is there, but I don't see it actually becoming anything tangible. I think the Browns are pretty much the same team without Odell Beckham Jr. that they are with him. And, I'm looking at his value around the league. Who really values him high? What are you going to get better than a fourth round pick for him? Because, if you ask me, just the drama that's surrounded with getting a late round pick, getting a day three pick, it wouldn't be worth exploring the option, because the value on the return, would be offset by the collateral damage done by making a move like that.
Yes, I agree. I just don't think the Browns could get equal value to what he brings on the field as a football player. And I think their best bet is to try to make this thing work for the rest of the season. And then when they get to the offseason, then, reassess what they could potentially do.
With apologies to Mary Kay Cabot, I don't think an in-season trade is practical in any way, shape, or form. I think that you have to look at every season as the limitation of what your window is, despite how young the team is.
Yeah, and I just think with his salary right now, and I think there's only a handful of teams that can squeeze in his $10 million remaining salary, I just don't think an in-season trade is feasible either. We could be proven wrong. That we were the franchise that, floored the NFL world when they traded Trent Richardson all those years ago. So crazier things have happened, obviously, but we'll obviously see how things go. Turning our attention to Sunday, obviously you are in Arizona and the Cardinals are, they're the surprise of the league. I don't think anybody seen them being 5-0, and Jeff, you being in Arizona, obviously, the Suns made an incredible run to the finals this over the summer. Obviously, they lost to the Bucks. Now that the Cardinals are 5-0, it's like Phoenix is the center of the sports world, essentially, throughout the year 2021. How are the fans reacting to this start by the Cardinals right now?
I think everybody's really cautiously optimistic. We've waited for the shoe to drop. It dropped on us after game two of the NBA Finals. I am a Suns fan, by the way, so that was a pretty heartbreaking summer. I am also obligated by some allegiance of political correctness to mention that the Phoenix Mercury are also in the
WNBA
finals. they're playing Chicago. Don't ask me for too many more details, but that is going on right now.
All apologies to the Phoenix Mercury, but what a great start, I think, for the Cardinals, because I don't think anybody's seen this coming, and it's amazing to see how they are playing right now. I'm sure the fans are loving it, just because, it's been a while since the Phoenix Cardinals, but they're the Arizona Cardinals, but back to being in a contending spot in the NFC and even in the NFL. So it's great to see them playing out, but obviously
I don't think that we felt that it was real until after the Rams game, because the Titans kind of didn't show up in the opening week. Minnesota comes roaring back and they have to miss a field goal at the end to keep it alive. They have that disastrous kick six moment at the end of the first half against Jacksonville, and then they play this legitimate contender in the NFC West. They upgraded their quarterback and the Cardinals smacked them around, in their own stadium there in Inglewood.
For sure. The big news, obviously, this week is Chandler Jones tested positive for COVID. I've seen Dan Graziano reported Thursday morning that two more players have tested positive, but I have not seen who those two players are. I don't know if you have any insight on who those players are, but obviously Chandler Jones had the monster week one game with 5 sacks. One of the leaders on the defensive side of the ball, most likely not playing Sunday. We don't know his state, if he's, first of all, vaccinated, B, if he had symptoms, like how those things are going to offset. But obviously, big loss if Chandler Jones cannot play this week against a Browns offensive line, which is hampered with an injury. Like you mentioned, Jedrick Wills dealing with an ankle injury right now.
Now, how's the rest of the offensive line looking? Is Wyatt Teller healthy?
As far as we know, Teller's healthy. You know, Treader doesn't practice through the week. He gets the Joe Thomas rule where he doesn't practice until, I think, Friday, and he's even limited at that. But Batonio, obviously Conklin went out last week with an injury as well against the Chargers. But other than Wills, I would say we're relatively healthy along the rest of the offensive line. We did lose Chris Hubbard, but the line is hanging in there, obviously.
On the back end of that defense, they still have Buda Baker, but Chandler Jones is really what makes everything tick. You know, J.J. Watt played with Jadeveon Clowney in Houston, and, you know, while he was always regarded as a great player, it was never a championship contending team that they had in Houston. There are a billion other factors that go into that, of course, but J.J. Watt's not the same without Chandler Jones on the field. What the Cardinals like to do, though, is it's almost like the Warriors in basketball, where you try to get these guys on the defensive side of the ball that can play about 5 or 6 positions. And they went through that with Haason Reddick. They picked up Isaiah Simmons, who's listed as a middle linebacker, just like Zaven Collins, who is now your prototype linebacker. He's just a massive man that went to a smaller school, so flew a little bit under the radar. But, I think he's like 6'7" playing a linebacker there. But they don't really click as a unit unless Chandler Jones is laying the quarterback on his rear end. And they did a good job bottling up Derrick Henry in week one with everybody there, but Chandler Jones sacking the quarterback 5 times in a game is, you know, what sets the mood and what sets the tone.
You know, they went after J.J. Watt in the offseason, and, you know, he hasn't been the same guy that he was back in Houston, but what have you seen from him so far? And, you know, if Chandler Jones can't go, is he really going to be able to hold it down all by himself out there?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to do it alone. I think that Vance Joseph's done a heck of a job calling this defense after, you know, it was a disappointing run for him as a head coach. Yeah, they've been calling for Vance Joseph to get fired here for, you know, really since he got here. And if you look at Cliff Kingsbury's track record, of course, you don't have much NFL to look at. So you've got to go back to his days coaching college football in the state of Texas. Great as the offensive coordinator at A&M and great as the offensive coordinator at Texas Tech, but he never really had that lieutenant to run his defense at Tech. And I think that he stays out of the way. I think that he lets Vance Joseph assistant, essentially be like a Buddy Ryan type, where you take care of the defense, I'll take care of the offense, and we'll see each other in some meetings.
You know, speaking of Kingsbury, you know, he's done a great job getting this Cardinals team, and he's done a great job with Kyler Murray. What have you seen from them really click over the last couple years? Because, you know, Kyler, I would definitely say he's in the running, I would say, in the MVP talks, just with the season he's had so far. How have they really been able to connect over these first couple years?
Well, I think that there was a little bit of a learning curve, and then, you know, they've had some disappointing ends to seasons. So they, you know, they still have to prove that they can win in November and December and win the big games with, you know, playoff spots on the line. They've been a little bit of a letdown in that regard. But I think that Kyler has, you know, much like Baker Mayfield, you know, he's learned that he's playing at the NFL level and that everything is faster. And even though he is faster than most of those defensive guys that are chasing him, I think that he's learned to trust the team and he's learned to trust the game plan a little bit more and doesn't play as much, you know, hero ball, so to speak.
Is there any weaknesses you still see in his game? You know, he's obviously in his third year. He's still young, only 24 years old, but, you know, he's off to an incredible start. Like Anthony said, he's definitely in the MVP race, but is there still flaws in his game that you think, like, the Browns defense will be able to attack come Sunday?
Well, keep him in the pocket. And that's, those are the Lamar rules. Those are the Kyler Murray rules. And, you know, remember when this team got blown, and when the team that wore this laundry, the Browns, got laid out by the Cardinals in Kyler's rookie season, Baker's sophomore season, the Browns didn't have Myles Garrett. And, you know, when we talk about Chandler Jones being missing from that, you know, from the Cardinals defense, I think it's equivalent to, the two times that the Browns have lost Myles Garrett, you know, once to suspension and then to COVID. And even when he came back, you know, Myles Garrett wasn't, and this is documented that he wasn't at 100% when he was cleared from COVID protocols to play. So, I think that, you know, it'd be really awesome if Clowney could get on the field. Otherwise you're putting a lot on Tack McKinley to contain Kyler Murray in the pocket. But once he gets outside the pocket, he can improvise. He's a lot more like Mahomes than Jackson, even though he plays a similar game to Jackson's.
You know, looking at the supporting cast around Kyler Murray, you know, he is able to, like you said, extend plays. He can really hurt a defense with his legs. But is this offensive line really able to get it done and protect them when it matters, when you have pass rushers on the opposite side, like a Myles Garrett, like a Jadeveon Clowney, if he plays on Sunday?
You know, the Cardinals' offensive lines, you know, it comes with some experience. I think DJ Humphries has lived up to the billing as the number one pick there. Hudson, who's going to be out on Sunday, he's been a heck of a pickup, but they expect Max Garcia to step in and be, you know, the understudy that he needs to be. But, you know, I think it's the talent. He doesn't have a great running game around him. You know, no disrespect to James Conner, but, you know, he's a great story. And then, you know, I learned to forget about him because he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't mind when they play at Pitt, but when they continue on and continue their professional career at Heinz Field, that's when I take some reservation with it. But, you know, Chase Edmonds is just good enough to keep you honest with the play action. But Christian Kirk has stepped up. AJ Green's been a welcome add. And then the burner that they got from Purdue, this Rondale Moore, he could create some problems. So he really doesn't have any tight ends to speak of. We just lost Max Williams for the year here, and they were starting to develop some chemistry. And you know, Max was more of a poor man, a very poor man's Mark Andrews. So to not have that outlet, or, you know, you're going down to 3-4 on the depth chart now with Daryl Daniels and Demetrius Harris. So, this could be a different look for the Cardinals offense. You know, he might take 60 snaps out of the shotgun, and they'll run it five times, to the running backs, for, you know, when it's not just him getting away on a passing play. So I expect the Cardinals to open it up, and I expect them to challenge the Browns all afternoon down the field.
You mentioned all those Cardinals receivers. Is it weird not mentioning Larry Fitzgerald among that group this year?
No, you know, there just comes a time that it should be over. Yeah. And I could remember, you know, I think it was during the Belichick years, Ozzie Newsome sitting on his helmet on the sideline and, you know, not going in, even though the Browns had the ball. His catch streak was in jeopardy and he didn't chase it. And, I think that Larry just got tired of chasing things. He had that great performance in the Super Bowl, and his defense let him down after he scored what should have been the game winning touchdown. He's always going to be an ambassador in this community. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if we have a Mount Rushmore of Phoenix sports, Larry Fitzgerald is surely on it. Phoenix Mercury star Diana Taurasi is surely on it. And then you kind of got to look at, you know, like Randy Johnson, Kurt Warner, some of the old school Suns guys. Who else?
Barkley.
Oh, of course, Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
definitely probably nobody from the Coyotes.
That's kind of a tough call, Anthony, because Shane Doan played, you know, he came over with Winnipeg in 96, and he only retired like 2 or 3 years ago, and he didn't wear another sweater. So he's held in pretty high regard, but the Coyotes, you know, their space in the pecking order probably comes somewhere between Arizona State sports and Grand Canyon basketball.
I see the score. They're playing the Blue Jackets tonight. It's not looking pretty for them. So,
oh, the Yotes. Last I saw it was 5-1, and it's
6-1 now.
Good. Oh, well, the Coyotes had two pretty serviceable goalies and a backup that wasn't awful, and they let all three of them go. They brought this guy in that was like 1-12 in 1-12 and 1 in his starts with the Sabres last year. So this is not going to be a promising season. I just hope that they don't set any record lows, but I hope that they play poorly enough to get the first pick, because next year's NHL draft crop is supposed to be pretty strong.
So getting back to the Cardinals, this defense, last year they're 12th in scoring. This year they've taken a step forward so far. They're 6th in scoring defense, giving up about 19 a game. We talked about the impact of not having Chandler Jones, but you look at the rest of this defense, Jeff. Obviously, we mentioned J.J. Watt and the impact he's put on. You mentioned Zaven Collins, the team's first-round pick this year. One guy that I've noticed is broken out, I feel like, this year is Byron Murphy. I think he's in his third year. As a corner, second round pick a couple years back out of Washington. He seems to have finally broke through. You know, Patrick Peterson obviously leaves in the offseason, and Murphy stepped up in that position. 3 interceptions already in the first 5 games. He's dealing with a rib injury now, did not practice today. But talk about Murphy's ascension, and then Buda Baker, obviously one of the underrated safeties in the league. That secondary definitely has some talent on the back end, which obviously they're going to need to bring their A game against the Browns receiving core this Sunday.
I think that Buda is an all pro type of player. I think that, you know, he's putting together the accolades that, you know, if he gets a little bit of hardware, you know, defensive player of the year, or, you know, the, you know, Super Bowl performance, you know, that's assuming the Cardinals can get there, or whatever team he's on can get there. But I think that Buda Baker is a special player. Byron Murphy grew up right here at Scottsdale. In fact, he went to high school with Christian Kirk, and he has been a godsend, because there were a lot of concerns about Robert Alford's, you know, health going into the year. And, you know, we're really leaning heavily, or, you know, they were leaning heavily on Robert Alford being a big part of that secondary. But Murphy, you know, he's just a ball hawk, and, he doesn't get targeted much anymore because you don't want to throw at him. As far as Patrick leaving, though, I think that there was a belief that this defense needed Patrick Peterson, and I think that his ego was too big for, for what Vance Joseph wants out of that defensive unit. I think that when you replace somebody of P2's stature with J.J. Watt, it can be a pretty seamless transition. And Patrick is a punk, by the way.
Is he?
It's just the words that, you know, just the way that he's, it's a little bit like Kyrie Irving going to Boston and talking about playing in a real sports town. He just, you know, Patrick Peterson just took shot after shot at the Cardinals for no reason whatsoever. Josh Cribbs, you know, as beloved as he is in Cleveland, he did it after the fact. And Braylon Edwards, for as beloved as he isn't, did it after the fact as well. Well, so, I don't really recall ever hearing those comments from somebody with high character after they leave a team.
Right. And I only mentioned Buda Baker being an underrated safety just because I don't feel like he gets talked about enough on a national level. Obviously, he's a 2-time first team all pro. But I just, like, when they talk about, like, the top, you know, defensive backs, I just don't feel like he gets mentioned enough. Obviously, his peers voted him a top 20 player this year. But I just feel like, as good of a player Buda Baker is, and obviously he's one of the top safeties, I just don't feel like he gets talked about. And that's why I gave him the underrated tag.
I think that we're in a little bit of an abyss here when it comes to the NFL. I think that, you want to cover the teams in Los Angeles. You want to cover the Niners, you know, the Seahawks, even though they're long past their peak with Pete Carroll. They get talked about a lot. So we're, you know, the fourth most talked about market here in the NFC West. And then, you've got the Chiefs and Vegas going on the other side. So I think we just get buried a little bit in the headlines because we're not the right organization. It's like reading hockey news and, you know, kind of searching for anything on the Ottawa Senators. And, you know, it's just one of those teams that doesn't get talked about on a national level, regardless of whether the performance merits it or not.
Right. I mean, one final note on the defense, like, even though they're ranked 6th in scoring, like, where do you see is the weakness? Because there was like a analytical metric, and it says where the Cardinals are the weakest is where Baker Mayfield is his strongest. So you watch the Cardinals probably closer than most.
I saw that one. I saw that one, Jack. It was pretty much in the flat areas on both the left and right sides within about 5 to 10 yards. Kind of the heat map for completions the Cardinals have given up is in that area outside the hashes on both sides within about 10 yards.
Okay, so yeah.
Doesn't that sound a lot to you like David Njoku and Austin Hooper territory?
Oh, and Kareem Hunt out of the backfield.
Right, him and Chubb both. I know that Hunt's, you know, more their utility guy, but Nick Chubb, it's not like Nick Chubb can't catch the ball. They just didn't run a lot of passes to the running backs at Georgia.
Right, and it would be where, you know, Odell Beckham would become open across the field, but that just depends on if Baker can see him and throw it to him. So
hey, maybe this is a Felton underneath kind of day, you know, a lot of big catch and run type of day, but you do have the good safeties back there for the Cardinals. So easier said than done, obviously.
Right, but do you like where do you see the biggest weakness on the Cardinals defense, and how do you expect the Browns to potentially exploit that come Sunday?
I think that they get a little bit blitz happy. I think that Baker's got to have some good pre-snap reads, and I think that they're going to audible into the run a lot. But you know, I'm curious to see how this Cardinals front four is, because while they shut down Derrick Henry in week one, it hasn't been equally impressive in the week since. They just haven't played a lot of teams with a good running game. So I think that, you know, the Browns running game, the play, you know, and setting up the play action and beating their linebackers in the pass game, because, you know, Marcus Golden is more of a pass rusher. I'm going to guess that, you know, they're going to put Devin Kennard in to spell Chandler Jones if they don't just go with a, you know, with a four-man front more often. I know that they're traditionally a 3-4 team, but, you know, they tend to mix it up a little bit. They play a lot of a hybrid, which is true of just about 90% of the 3-4 offense, 3-4 defenses in the league.
As we wrap things up, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Do you want to give a prediction for Sunday? And if so, the floor is yours, my friend.
Prediction for Sunday. I think that the Browns are going to come out strong in the first half, and then I'm going to hold on tight in the second half. My official prediction here is going to be Cardinals 28, Browns 25.
All right. Anthony, you want to give your prediction?
Yeah, I suppose, I guess either way you kind of win, Jeff, which isn't really fair, but, you know.
I'm not hedging my emotions. I'm making an honest pick. <for it. laughs>
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a tough one. You know, I know the Browns are going to come out and try to prove a lot after that tough loss on Sunday. You know, I know they put up 41 points. You know, unfortunately, they gave up 47 of them. You know, I think this defense is going to come out with something to prove, but, you know, Kyler Murray is just really good. And I don't know if, you know, 2 weeks in a row, you know, this defense can attempt to contain somebody like that, especially with how banged up they are. You know, the depth being really hurt on this team. So I am going to go Arizona 38, Cleveland 33.
Okay, I'm going to predict Arizona 41-35. I do think this is going to be a close game. I have my doubts that the Browns defense is going to be able to stop this offense based on what I've seen so far at Arizona. Obviously, Kyler Murray's playing at an MVP level. These receivers are tough. Hopkins, Moore, A.J. Green. James Conner seems to always play really well against Cleveland, especially in Brown Stadium. So I wouldn't be shocked if he has a monster game against them. But I expect our offense to score on this defense. They're not good against the run. It's the second week in a row we're playing a poor run defense. So I expect Chubb and Hunt to have a monster game. But until the defense bounces back and can prove to me that they can shut down a high-powered offense like Arizona's, I'm going to go with Arizona in a close matchup. Like I said, 41-35 Arizona. And as we wrap up, Jeff, like we said, we thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you on again and not wait like 2 or 3 years, because I feel like that was the last time you've been on. But before we head out, Go ahead and plug your radio show, your podcast, everything you got on, going on these days, man.
All right. So from an Arizona standpoint, I am with Central City Radio down there. I'm also the VP of sports programming over there. And I do a show called Jeff Rich Live from Phoenix. You can just search for that on YouTube. It's on Central City Radio's YouTube channel. And then independently of that, I am doing the Not Suitable for Utah podcast with Shane Koenig out of Denver. He's a Chiefs guy. He's a Utah Jazz guy. I'm a Suns guy. I'm a Browns guy. I'm an Indians guy, or a Guardians guy down the road, I suppose. And that's just kind of our no holds barred. I enjoy every week on Anchor when I get to click it as explicit. And then Monday through Thursday, Jen Rich and I host the Sports Overnight America program, which is part of the Sports Byline Network. You can get that streaming live at sportsbyline.com or catch it on Sirius 217 XM 203.
And Anthony, go ahead and plug your Twitter.
Yeah, you guys can always give me a follow over on Twitter at Anthony Jokey. And, you know, Jack was right. It has been a while since we talked to you. And, you know, it's definitely been a welcome conversation. I'm glad we got to sit down with you for a little bit here and, you know, have another good talk, you know, like we always seem to do.
Yeah, it's like we picked up like nothing's changed over the last couple of years. So it's good to go.
Yep.
Oh, hey, and get my website, jeffrichtalks.com. I got everything archived if you forgot what I just said 2 minutes ago.
Yes, it's all there at jeffrichtalks.com. Yeah, definitely check out everything Jeff's doing for sure. You guys can follow me on Twitter at jackmccurry08. You also check out the Dogland at the Dogland on Twitter as well as on Facebook. Sunday, Browns fans, if you're listening to this podcast, me and Anthony will be at the game. I will be at the West 3rd and Summit tailgate. I'm going to be up there from about noon until 3 when it ends. You guys want to come see me, say what's up, you know, have a beer, something, I'll be out there. Anthony's going to join me, I think, at some point as well. That's the plan. Really excited. It's my first Browns game, so I'm really looking forward to it. Anthony, I would say we're probably going to do post-game on Monday just because I don't know what time I'll get back to Akron, and I have to work Monday morning, so I would say Monday night probably be the plan to do post game.
Yeah, you and me both have to work early on Monday morning. So yeah. I would imagine sometime Monday afternoon, evening, be on the lookout for our post game episode. And hopefully, even though we don't think so, hopefully it'll be a victory Monday.
Yes, because we always like to be proven wrong here. So until next time, Browns fans, as always, as we get on out of here, go Browns.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.